Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O-Rock.
How you doing, Michael?
So apparently the SpongeBob musical is now on DVD? Wow. Why did it take them like 6 months to get the SpongeBob musical out on DVD, but it took like 4 years for the Hamilton musical to come out on
SpongeBob stage musical? Is that correct? Not like a musical episode of the cartoon?
Yeah, no, the stage musical, the Broadway one, I think.
Wow. Wow, it's going to be a bright Christmas for anyone who gets that.
Yeah, it looks like it comes with an exclusive sing-along version. Oh, well, of course, you have to have a sing-along version.
I think Hamilton actually isn't even on DVD yet. It's only available streaming on Disney Plus. I know this because I was looking into it as a gift for some people in my family, but it doesn't exist. And I don't know how to gift digital content.
Yeah, my people can't watch it because whatever reason their TV doesn't have Disney Plus, so they were kind of bummed out. But then everybody stopped talking about Hamilton like 2 weeks after it came out, and so now they're less bummed out.
It really is only on Disney Plus. You can't even rent it for streaming on Amazon. Oh, that's a bummer. It's a good musical, I've heard.
It's okay. I would like it if it wasn't singing the whole time.
You'd like Hamilton the musical better without all the singing? That's what you want?
So they've got songs, and then the rest of the thing, which would be like normal dialogue in any other musical, but they just sort of sing it. So, I don't know. I think that was my original thing. It's like, I can't remember anything because the entire thing was a song, really. It's like, when everything's a song, then nothing's a song, so.
Well, have you seen the SpongeBob?
I have not. I have to get it now. putting in my order for it right away.
That's what I'm wondering, how it compares to Hamilton. SpongeBob versus Hamilton. If it has an appropriate level of talking to singing. Or who knows?
I think they have actual dialogue in the SpongeBob one, though. Because it looks like they got, or whatever you call it, the SpongeBob one they did with like 4 or 5 or 6 different bands. So they basically got a bunch of bands. Each band gets to like make one song for the musical. Whereas Hamilton, it was all done by the one guy, right? Who did Moana?
Yeah, all by Lin-Manuel Miranda, yeah.
Alrighty, so do we have any video game news to discuss? Because
video game news,
I have nothing on my sheet of paper here.
Oh no, Michael! Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
I didn't have any video game thoughts in the past month, apparently.
Nope, that's fine. I've got a big list of things we can talk about. So don't even worry about it. I got you covered this month.
Oh, good. And I was going to say, did we talk about the Santa Claus game from in the last month's podcast?
We touched on it. We didn't. The art stuff that you and I have been emailing back and forth about, that's all been since the last podcast.
Yeah. So I think you've actually gotten a chance to read some of the script, unless I'm mistaken. And I don't know. It was very fun writing the script, but also very weird because I sort of did it as a parody of the sushi game, which I played, what, at least 5 years ago? So I tried to write it in that style of sort of like, this is half badly translated from another language, and it feels like the author was trying to hit like a word count.
Oh,
so there's some places like, that's what the game felt to me anyway, because it felt like, I think that game has like 5 chapters. I think it's on, I'm trying to remember, they do the thing where you can read 2 chapters a day, or you can pay the money to unlock all the chapters at once. And that's sort of the reason why they have like so many endings, is because, you know, if you want to get all the endings, you'd have to replay, and it'd take like weeks to do. So that sort of was one of the impressions I got from playing the game, was like, okay, you're just kind of wasting time because you want people to buy as many chapters as possible. So in the Sleepy Santa storyline, I just kind of challenged myself to go on and on and on about Sleeping Santa's beard. I think I managed to get like 3+ pages just talking about this guy's beard. I'm not sure, but
I do remember that the main character was particularly enamored with his beard in that pathway. I enjoyed that.
It just goes on and on and on. And then afterward, you know, I mentioned it to my wife, and she's like, okay, writing a bit of self wish fulfillment there, are you?
Well, you do have a very impressive beard. I've seen the pictures. It's really something. I hope you continue to maintain it after the plague is over.
It's interesting because I went to the barber to get my hair cut this past, like, Sunday. And they have the shavers out. Actually had the old-fashioned razor inside, like, a glass of water, you know.
Oh, God, wait, the straight blade one that you use to, like, cut people's throats?
Yeah, that one. And I asked the person, they said they're not allowed to cut hair or beard hair at all. It's still against the law. So the Corona beard is staying.
Yes. Awesome. Oh, see, this would be a really good time to redo your photos for future Doug in Pizza Boy, where you have this nice big bushy beard.
Yeah, so I looked like a totally different person. Yeah. Actually, now I've kind of got the similar... My hair is, like, shaved to a similar set.
Oh, okay.
Similar length? I never know what barbers are talking about when they do hairstyling, and so... I keep meaning to, like, take a picture of myself, you know, just take a selfie when I've got my hair the way I like it, and then just favorite that on my phone and show it to the barber every time, but I keep forgetting to do it.
They would probably find that incredibly useful, too. They're like, oh, okay, just do this. All right, that sounds good. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, this time the barber did something new I've never done before, which is... I think it's called the fade or whatever you call it, where it's shorter on the bottom and then it's heavier on the top.
Oh,
so
okay.
It had a larger number on the bottom and then a smaller number on the top, but it did it so it fades up, so the hair gradually gets larger as you go up. I'll see if it looks cool.
That's cool. That sounds cool. That's like what the cool guys are doing right now, isn't it? Kind of is it like kind of not quite shaved but like real short on the sides and then it's thicker on top, is that what you're saying? Or
that's the idea, yeah, but it you can barely tell because it's like at most a millimeter longer on top than it is on bottom, but it's still a neat idea.
I've sort of played around with that before, but you can't really do that with my hair because my hair like already has a tendency to kind of like mushroom out like at the top, so like kind of flare and bulge out, and that like that's just what my hair looks like if I go too long without cutting it. So I always just go like as short as I can on the sides now, just short everywhere, because otherwise it just looks so bad. I have a weird shaped head or something.
I prefer just the short on the sides. I don't like getting hair in my ears, but I'm fine if the hair in my head is like, you know, 3 inches long or something.
Yeah.
Put into one of those Elvis style things, I suppose.
I'm just trying to hang on to my hair as long as I can at this point.
Yeah, I know. I was very sad. My wife said I had a bald spot, and then she shared a picture of it with me, and then I didn't like that. And I didn't like that
I
at all.
I saw that on Facebook. Actually. I'm so sorry. Oh, I've been there. My hair started falling out at like what, the beginning of college, end of high school, somewhere around there. So at least you've had it this long.
Yeah, so now we're just gonna be bald by the end of
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I keep thinking about, is like when we can finally go outside and see people again, like everyone's gonna look so much older now. Like I haven't seen my family at all since January. They're all going to be a year plus older the next time I see them, and I bet I notice it, and it's going to be really sad.
So I can confirm that is 100% what's going to happen, because I have a lot of kid friends, right? Or at least I have a lot of friends with kids. And so it's really noticeable. It's really noticeable when a child who's under the age of 7 has grown a year. Yeah. Really noticeable. So
yeah, well, actually, we did a Zoom call with my family for Thanksgiving, and one of my nephews was suddenly a foot taller, and his voice was deep now. Like, it changed since the last time I talked to him. It was very unsettling.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, we're getting there. The thing I heard from NPR is that they think at the latest, so the latest time that everyone who wants a vaccine will be able to actually get one is June, which sounds a while away, but
it's just half a year.
I know, but I still find that I feel pretty good about that. Like, that there now is a time frame, right? Like, it's not just some nebulous time in the future. Like, and the June time frame is for, like, well, it's for, like, people who are like us, who are, you know, relatively young and don't have to leave our house for any reason.
The general public, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people with you know, who are older, immunocompromised, or people who actually have to deal with the public on a regular basis, they theoretically would be getting it much sooner than that, so that's good.
I'm glad you're saying that, because what I've been seeing on the internet recently is just really nasty stuff about people fighting over who deserves to get the coronavirus first, and who deserves to get the vaccine first. And it's like, you can't have that argument without making it sound like, well, the group I dislike needs to die from the coronavirus. But that's just not the way people on the internet communicate, I suppose.
Yeah.
It reminds me of those people at the start of the pandemic who are just hoarding toilet paper. It's like, me first. No, everybody else needs to die. I get it first. I'm most important.
Yeah. No, I mean, I certainly see that I am absolutely not a priority here. Like, I haven't... Aside from curbside pickup for groceries, so not even going to the store, I haven't left my house in months, not since our numbers started spiking. I was like, that's it. I'm not going to see another person ever again. I'm done. Happy to do my part in that way. Plus, I'm not a very social person anyway, so it works out.
Yeah, yeah. But at least you guys have a timeline. I got 2 messages from our local hospital saying, we're not getting any vaccines. We don't know when there are any vaccines. Like, we're not even on the list of people who are getting vaccines.
Yikes. Okay, cool.
So I'm like, oh, okay.
The timeline I heard was for the country as a whole, not for our area specifically. I don't know what sort of time frame we're looking at around here. On the NPR Politics podcast, they had some nebulous experts on talking about that. So that was their claim.
You're in New York. You guys will get it sooner than everybody else.
We're in upstate. That doesn't really count.
I don't know. That's something else I was thinking about this past week was, people talking about local news versus national news. It's like, there's a lot of national news coming out of New York, which, like, if it happened here in Oregon, it would not be national news. It would be considered local news.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Oh, man, like a restaurant in New York shut down, and that's just national news. I'm like, there are dozens of restaurants that have shut down because of the coronavirus here, and I don't think any of them have been mentioned in other states.
Yeah, well, it was a minor example. Big kerfuffle in the city recently when they made the decision to close restaurants for in-restaurant eating, inside eating, and... I mean, my reaction was I didn't know that many people were still eating inside restaurants.
They reopened
apparently our New York City had opened them again. I mean, I haven't eaten in a restaurant since the pandemic. I've gotten takeout as much as I can to, you know, because I like food around here and I want to help keep people in business. But inside a restaurant, no way. I want people to keep their germs away from me.
I've done it twice since the pandemic happened. Once was at a Five Guys, and that was basically... I had the car at the shop, and so the car people said, wait for an hour, and I'm like, okay, well, there's a Five Guys within walking distance, and apparently they'll let me in. So I just sat in my little corner and drank soda for an hour.
Yeah.
And that was basically it.
Yeah,
I haven't been in like a real restaurant because they're not open. Anyway, McDonald's and all the fast food places are closed still, so...
Yeah, no, ours, in the city they were open. I think where I live, too, they are still open for indoors eating. It's just, I mean, we're not doing it. I don't know. Is this a video game podcast? I don't want to talk about depressing coronavirus stuff anymore. I have one more thing to add. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, great. Let's hear.
Yeah, more depressing. No, I talked about this on Twitter yesterday, and I'm signed up for one of the... national COVID vaccine trials for tomorrow. I'll be going as of today's the 22nd, so this will be the 23rd. I'll be going in for my first appointment for that. This is one of the trials where they give half the people the actual vaccine and half the people a placebo, and it's one of these things. It's just sort of testing the efficacy of different vaccines and different types of vaccines. Different variations on the vaccine. So I'm very excited about this. I had been trying to get into one of these trials since the summer, but when they interviewed me before, we went through a whole bunch of questions, and then they got to the question of like, okay, how many times a week do you leave your house? And I was like, one? And they rejected me for that because there was virtually no possibility of me actually catching the virus. But they're opening it up more now, so I think it's cool. I like there's the possibility I might get the vaccine. I'm also happy to just contribute to the science of all of this in a way that's pretty easy for me to do.
Let me be your guinea pig. Yeah.
Yeah. I got no problem with that.
Gosh, okay. I'm trying to find the thing you posted, and then I'm not... So, didn't you say it was like a phase 3 something?
Yes, it's the phase 3 trial, and I don't know which exact vaccine it is. It's either Pfizer or Moderna, I think. I'm not sure which one.
I was going to say, you also wrote about people fighting over who deserves to get the vaccine first. It's very nice of Congress to decide they get the vaccine first. We rarely see our Congress people agree on anything, but they really seem to have come together... In this inspiring moment. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to get too political, but it does kind of bum me out that the politicians who have been downplaying this whole time have been going to rallies, not wearing masks. They're also the ones first in line to get the vaccine. Like, the people who have made this problem exponentially worse are now also the first ones being saved from it. That's kind of a bummer to me. But I don't know what you expect. Anyway, yeah, it's a phase 3 trial that I'm signed up for. So these have been going on for a little while now. I think the phase 3 is the test they start to do once they've already have the results proving that it's safe. This is the phase where they're proving how effective it is, basically. That's my understanding anyway. And it'll be 10 separate appointments at my health clinic for this. One for each of the shots, and then 8 more follow-up appointments that I think aren't supposed to be very long.
Oh, yeah. Did you say it was like $125 each for each appointment?
Yes, I did.
That's way more than our $600 stimulus check.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about that. It's also great because, I mean, it's a 50-minute drive for me, so it's the payment is a great way for me to be able to justify taking off from getting work done for, you know, an afternoon, 3 hours a day, whatever it's going to be, is that I get paid for that time. So it's easy for me. If I wasn't getting that compensation, it would be a little tougher to justify. So that's nice. I don't know how common it is. I don't know if this is like more than other people pay or what, but that's what is going on here specifically.
I know when I donate blood, I don't have to pay them money, but to get like the single shot and the testing done. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Obviously getting the coronavirus test, just running a test to see if you have the coronavirus, that's a bit more complicated than say the other shots or things they check for, which they've just got like down pat and can do really quickly.
Yeah. Well, my wife's been getting the coronavirus tests, or she was anyway. She had been getting it every 2 weeks from her college, and it sounds like that was not very fun at all. Have you actually gotten tested for it
at all this time? Nope. Like I said, I donated blood, so
yeah.
They did the check on me, but I just got the generic, hey, you don't have any coronavirus antibodies, so I didn't get like specifically checked for it. It was just part of the normal, when they took my blood, they ran the test through.
Oh, I see. Oh, interesting. I didn't even think of that you could probably just test it that way, too.
Yeah, my wife got the normal coronavirus tests. It was part of some sort of scientific tracing group. Maybe similar to what you're doing, probably not. I think it was just a contact tracing experiment.
Sure. Yeah, I think those 8 follow-up appointments, they'll be testing me too, and I don't know if that's going to be the brain tickling nose one, where they shove the Q-tip like down all the way up your nasal cavity, or there's another one too where you spit in a cup. I'm rooting for the spit in a cup test personally.
So I'm going to be all alone by myself in next month's podcast.
Yeah.
Paul will have died of the corona.
That's what I was going to say. If I sound like a totally different person next month, it's because the vaccine does have a chip in it. Beware.
Oh. I'll be looking like Fiat Line when you come back next month.
Okay. That's enough coronavirus talk. I think everyone actually wants to talk about video games.
Okay, so I played this coronavirus video game called Tree Trunk Brook.
Did you really?
Yeah, actually. I was commissioned to do it. And it's just a short, like, half-hour game where it takes place during the coronavirus, but it really has nothing to do with that. So it's just you're walking through the woods, and there are, like, 3 trails you can go on, and you need to find, like, you know, somebody lost their compass, so you find their compass, and you pick it up and give it back to them, and you see, like, some bears, and you take a picture of the bears. It's just supposed to be a simple, relaxing hiking simulation game, and it was kind of nice.
Okay, well, that sounds cool. I wonder if it was originally supposed to be coronavirus, or they just sort of added that on after the fact. I guess it depends on how long they'd been working on the game.
I can look that up right now, because they said something about it in the actual game. I think it was that just one of the people in their like game dev group hurt his leg and wished he could go hiking again, and that's sort of what inspired this game.
Oh.
But here we go, the About section. We began creating this game, then the pandemic and lockdown happened, and Brian got sick. After recovering, we implemented social distancing into the game. We made this game because we miss friends, work, hiking, dogs, and meeting new people.
I thought we were going to stop talking about sad stuff. It's such a bummer.
There's really no... I don't know what they mean by we introduce social distancing into this game. It's like, okay, yeah. Every character has a mask, and that's it. Nobody mentions social distancing or the coronavirus.
Yeah. Well, do you always say 6 feet away from any other characters in the game?
No.
Oh.
You can walk up right next to those characters.
Oh, that's very aggressive now.
Oh, no. On a hike. So, have you been playing any... What's your video game news?
Yeah, well, I was going to talk about Internet Court for a bit, if that's all right.
That's all right. I did have something to say about Internet Court. Okay, cool. You go.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say that I think last month when we talked here, I had finished coding most of the fourth case. I had like 2 pages left in the Word document script. Now they're all done. We've been working on this game forever. I was actually looking through my save files for this game, and I'm pretty sure I started coding case number 4 alone, like, at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, that's how long just this one stupid case has taken. And a lot of that is because toward the end of the summer, that's when Cat President 2 was sort of ramping up, so there was a huge break from Internet Court at that point. But yeah, it's been a process, but it's done, and I sent the cases to both Diana and Michael to test, and I'm was happy to see that you already got a chance to play through it. So that's good. And it seemed like you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. It was interesting because I had totally forgotten the script. And so some things I remembered, some things I didn't. And a lot of the jokes were surprises, and I liked them. So that was good. Apparently, I like my sense of humor. There's one joke I feel that needs to be edited up. Because let me see. My wife said about the special features thing that it needed to be. It's just like you could cut out half of that. There's a lot of dead air and such. And it made me think of one joke in Internet Court. I don't know if it's too slow or not, but the joke where all three of them have a big revelation. So the defense goes, "Oh, this could help with the case," and then the prosecutor goes, "Oh, wow, this is what we need," and then the judge goes, "Oh, yeah. I really have to go to the bathroom."
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was really landing.
I think the delivery might have been too slow. It's not obvious that they're repeating the same basic setup. You know, it's got to be 1, 2, and then 3. That's how those jokes normally work.
Yeah.
Because you see the pattern, and then the judge breaks the pattern. But it wasn't obvious they were doing a pattern, I think. So I don't know if you would... I don't know how to do it to make that faster or slower. No, it'd have to be faster.
I could trim the clips a bit. I mean, I could also just cut out the punchline, the judge's part, so we just have the people going, giving... you know, the actual information we need, which is, oh, we could use this information, and then cut out the judge's part entirely so there's not really a joke there. That would be the easiest way to do it anyway. I could also tighten the clips a bit so that, so that we move more quickly from one clip to the next one.
Yeah, I'd try that first because I think it's a decent joke. Potty humor, everybody's got to love that.
That's true. Yeah, I think you're right. I think something about it wasn't landing with me, and I think you're exactly right. It was that by the time the judge finishes his line, you don't really remember the first two parts of it. Like, it doesn't really seem like it's part of a whole. Yeah. All right, I can play with that. Not a problem at all. And yeah, you were talking about, so we have bonus features in the game. We have a blooper reel for each individual case, and then we have this absolutely wild warm-up exercise that the person who played Wirt Everly recorded. It's him, what is it, like 3 or 4 minutes talking about the emu wars, which, as I learned, were an actual real thing, not just something he made up. And then I just kind of stuck in there because it was funny and he said I could. And then, yeah, there's a clip where apparently you didn't even know this happened, but where your daughter, Mary, interviews Rosie as a cast member. I could.
I think it's interesting if we interviewed her again, because it's just been over a year. Probably have totally different responses.
Should have just interviewed her like once every year while the game's been in development.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to remember that she was in this game.
She does not remember. I don't think she remembers the recording we did last year either. Oh, well.
We could also talk about this for a little bit. How when I'm editing the very last scene in the entire game and... our worst nightmare came true. The thing we've been talking about, what would we do if this happened? It actually happened. It turned out we were missing some footage right at the end of the game. Integral, essential footage. It just did not exist, or if it did exist, neither of us could find it.
Yes, and I brought up my old computer looking for it, and, oh, geez, yeah. So my line was gone, yeah. What was it, 2 or 3 lines?
It was 2 lines. It's part of like the wrap-up epilogue for case number 4, where the 3 main characters are being interviewed. So there's a couple lines with the judge, there's a couple lines with Diana's character, and a couple lines with yours, and we just did not have yours at all. And it's the thing we've been wondering, like, when we keep making jokes, like, boy, it's a... really hope we don't have to re-record anything, because we all look totally different now.
Yeah, and we had to...
And then it happened.
had to re-record, but...
Yeah. So, you came up with a really good solution for it, I thought, where we used some older footage that we had recorded of your character, but we didn't end up using it, and we paired it with new footage that your wife Katie recorded doing an interview.
Yeah, and that seemed to work just fine.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, I was really happy with that solution. Like, I was afraid that any solution we came up with would be, like, something that we really obviously tacked on at the end because we messed up and we couldn't think of a good answer. But I thought this felt very natural. I think it works really well.
That's good. Yeah, great. I still think it's like, oh no, everybody's going to think it's weird because the wife character does not show up until this scene. So it's basically she just randomly appears towards the very end, but the dog was in that shot, right?
The dog is in that shot.
It looks good. So, yeah. So continuity. So
there was also a Christmas tree in that shot, and I wasn't sure if I should crop that or leave it in. I ended up leaving it in. I don't think... Like, there's other shots of that same scene, and we obviously don't see the Christmas tree because those were filmed in, you know, middle of the summer 2 years ago. But I think the angle is slightly different. Like,
the angle's slightly different. It's the exact same chair, though. You can... If anybody looks at them side by side, she was sitting in the exact same spot I was sitting in for my interview things.
No, absolutely. The only point I was going to make that I think that... it's plausible that there is a Christmas tree in your footage from earlier in the game. We just don't see it because the camera isn't shooting that side of the couch. So I don't think it's a continuity issue in that respect.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it all worked out. And also, so you don't feel bad, I also had to like redub some of my own footage like last minute. I already forget what line it is, but you can kind of tell because the audio quality is a little tinnier because my recording setup was a little different. Gosh, I don't know. It's one of the ones at the very end of the case, too, where I just said, like, one wrong word, and that one word was wrong enough that it didn't make sense, and I had to change everything. but it ended up working out pretty well. And it actually made me realize that this whole time, like, if I was trying to decide between two takes, like, it's pretty possible for me to switch audio from one take to the other take when people are saying the same lines over and over again. Like, if someone has a really good take, but they flub one word, it's not that big of a problem for me to just isolate that word from a different clip and move it on there so that then I have, like, the best take. I think I ended up doing that with a couple clips right at the end when I realized that.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a neat trick that I wish I had discovered 3 years ago, but I would know it for next time. So that's some of the fun stuff we've been doing with Internet Court. Like I was saying last month, now I'm at the part where I have to do menus and interfaces and all that stuff, which will be a little trickier this time than with Cat President, because with Cat President, I had something to work off of because it was a sequel. So I was able to use a lot of, graphical elements and code from the original game. This time I have to make it all up from scratch, more or less. So it'll get there. It just requires me to sit down and think about it. And I don't like sitting down and thinking about things.
Yeah, it's interface stuff is kind of tough.
Yeah. Especially when neither of us is really like an interface designer. Like, we don't have training in that or anything. It's just kind of us making up what we think looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we know anybody who's like a graphic arts designer.
Oh, I've had a couple thoughts already. I was thinking I would have images on the main title screen for each of the case. I think Phoenix Wright does something like this where they have like basically like four different squares, one for each case, and the locked ones will either be grayed out or they'll have like an actual physical lock symbol on them, and only the cases that you are currently able to play, like the first one when you start the game, will be like colorized or otherwise it'll be obvious that this is the one you can play right now. And I was thinking each one could be an image of whichever character is the main character for that case. So it would be an image of your character for the first one, mine for the second, and Diana's for the third. Don't know what the fourth case would be yet, but I'm playing around with something like that.
Yeah, I think Phoenix Wright also did something where it's like, where you just have the picture of the character, but it's all blacked out, so it's just their silhouette.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think.
Didn't it do something like, so like the second case, it's just the silhouette of Maya, and, you know, that indicates, hey, you can't play this case right now. I don't know, I could be wrong.
Okay. So that could be interesting. Then for the fourth case, it could be a silhouette of a character that is like kind of a spoiler, but you don't see it until, well, maybe until you finish the case then. I don't know.
I know they have a special artwork for the case after you beat the case, and then you get to see what the special artwork was.
That's what it is, right.
I think that's it. Yeah, I don't know what it is before you've solved the case.
I could also commission someone to draw pictures of all the characters instead of using photos. Cost a little money, maybe it would look cool.
So game two, it looks like, with Phoenix Wright game two, it's basically... It's what you said, each case is just a different picture. So case one is Phoenix, case two is Pearl,
yeah.
Case three is Francisca, and then case four is Edgeworth.
Yeah. Well, that's why that works really well for this game specifically, where we do have a different main playable character each case. That feels very natural to me that it would be that character's image representing that case, again, at least for the first three. I mean, the fourth one could be a picture of all three of us together somehow, too, especially if it is art that I've commissioned as opposed to just photos, like just screen grabs.
That's right, because the Phoenix Wright games came out in like DS, so they've got the weird, like black line halfway through the painting.
Yeah, because I think it's something like the top screen and the bottom screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't it be like the top screen has like the title screen on it, and the bottom screen has like the squares and arrows for you to like scroll through the different cases, something like that.
It looks like Apollo Justice doesn't have special artwork for all the various cases. I'll have to... Well, then what do they do at the start of each thing in Apollo Justice? I'll have to look that up.
It might depend on what version you're looking at screenshots of, too, because these things have been ported to a bunch of different systems by now.
That's true, yeah.
So it could be like the Steam version does it differently. Anyway, that's sort of what's on my radar. Sort of similarly, each, like when you start each case in the game, there's sort of like a little title screen that pops up with the, you know, case number one and then the name of the case, that I just have the dumbest placeholder art in it right now. Like for one of the cases is a case that deals with fan fiction. So the backdrop has like just a terrible Sonic fan art that I just found on Google that I certainly can't actually use. So I need to sort of figure out a style for those four images, what they should look like, all that stuff, and then actually make them.
I didn't realize that was placeholder art. I'm so bad.
It's a bad Sonic drawing, and the fourth one is a picture from the Troll Doll Museum in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, I thought, I mean, I knew that, but
yeah,
I didn't know there was an official museum in Ohio, but I knew it was.
Oh, there is.
I thought it was great.
Oh, there is. I mean, it's cute. I don't think I can use an image of branded toys in that way. No, I was gonna make something more final for that. And again, that's another thing where I could consider commissioning art. Would be kind of fun, but also money. So yeah, I don't know yet what those are going to look like. Let's see. Oh, so something fun that you haven't seen yet. So this is what I worked with over on the last couple days when I should have been working on the main menu. People who follow me on Twitter have already seen this. It's the dumbest thing ever added to a video game. But I turned your mouse cursor in Internet Court into a picture of a gavel. And now while you're playing the game, there's a spot on the screen where you can click it and just bang the gavel and make the screen shake. It doesn't do anything. It serves no purpose. It's just a fun thing to click on while you're playing the game. Yeah. This is what happens when I get punchy and bored during game dev. I'm like, I don't want to make a menu. I just want to make something stupid. So that's what I did.
Oh gosh, I thought that was something you would. I thought the screen shaking was just to highlight the drama of the particular moment. I didn't realize it was
just clicking at a random moment. That's just where you click. That's just you, the player clicking. Yeah. Yeah. So there's an image of what I learned is called a sound block. That's the thing on the judge's like podium or whatever that he actually hits with the hammer. So there's a picture of the sound block, and when you click on that, it makes the bang sound and shakes the screen.
That's what they call that? I thought it was called like a pad or something, huh?
Sound block is the term I found for it when I was trying to find pictures of it, so I knew what to make it look like. That was what I found, but I don't know.
Hmm.
Lizzo was watching over my shoulder while I was doing this, and she saw me testing it, and she said it looked like a lot of fun. I think it might be a way for people to entertain themselves during some of the longer segments. They can kind of click on that and just kind of screw around a bit. I don't know. We'll see if anyone likes it or if it's just a meaningless thing, but I thought it was a lot of fun to play with.
I've got a random thing to point out. So I did a walkthrough for Apollo Justice Ace Attorney like 7 years ago, and just randomly part 17 of the last case where you meet Trudy when she's like this little 8-year-old girl, young Trudy, that's just exploded in popularity, and I don't know why. So it's gotten 24,000 views, and you know, the video before it is 4,000, the video after it's 4,000, video after that's 2,900. So it's like, wow, it's got more views than pretty much anything else in the walkthrough. So people aren't watching the walkthrough. They're just watching that singular video of Trudy being a cute little girl.
Huh, I wonder if it was linked to your... If something like started linking to you randomly. Like, I had that happen... Do you remember on Game Cola when I was writing about the interactive vision system, the old video game system that uses VHS tapes?
Yeah, I remember something like that. Yeah.
So I did an article that mentioned like a Muppets game, and I recorded a video of the gameplay, which is basically just someone playing the videotape, and I put it in the article, and you know, it didn't get really very many views until someone wrote a Wikipedia article, or maybe even just like a Muppets Wikipedia, like the Muppets specific wiki. Anyway. There was an article about the game, and they embedded that video. Yeah, they embedded that video in the article about this game, and suddenly I was getting thousands of views on it. So I'm wondering if it's something like that. There's like a Trucy Wright wiki page somewhere. Then there's like a section about her childhood that links to your video, something like that.
Could be. Let's see. So it looks like 90% of my viewers just did a YouTube search. So 90% of it's just from... Okay, well, let me expand this to... Let's see. Can I expand it to traffic source over the lifetime? So over the lifetime, it's just 70%. 73% just actually were actually searching for young Trudy. And then 11%, it was just a suggested video. Hey, watch this video next.
Huh.
Then outside of that, it's like all just Google searches. Let's see. There's one from Discord. Wow, two people watched the video off of Discord. And then DeviantArt.com. Two people also got it from DeviantArt.com. That's great. Okay, so it looks like with Apollo Justice Ace Attorney, what they just have is... they don't have any specific artwork for any of the cases. It is just the generic courtroom background, and it's episode 1, Turnabout Trump, and episode 2, Turnabout Corner. It's just
Turnabout
this white
Trump?
Box
Wait,
with the
Turnabout
name
what?
Of the episode. Turnabout Trump is the first case of Apollo Justice
is
Ace
it
Attorney.
Really?
Let's stick with me here.
Is it really,
Look it
though?
Up.
Oh my God, no wonder I hate this game. Wow,
I
completely forgot about that. Yuck.
It's because Phoenix is a poker player now. He's a piano bum.
Oh. Wow.
Yep. And then other versions, it looks like other versions of the game, like you said, have a different art for selecting it. But the original DS version, it's just a white box with the name of the case.
Yeah.
Other versions, it looks like, gonna be honest, it's just stock art. It's got two pieces of stock art with Apollo on it. But I guess that I guess that's what they wanted to do for the iPad version or whatnot.
I think for the main menu, I think I'm leading toward the photo of the main character. That'll be extremely easy to do, at least, and I think it'll look nice. I guess we'll see what happens when I actually put it together. And then for the title cards for the start of the case, I don't know. I mean, I might just come up with like something super generic that I could apply to all four cases, or I guess I could try to come up with something unique like we have in the placeholder art right now, where, yeah, I don't know. I'm much less enthusiastic about this stuff than I am about my stupid gavel. Way less fun. I'm just checking over my list to see if there's any other internet court stuff I wanted to touch on while we're here. I guess real quick, I've been sort of thinking about subtitles again recently, because they really were one of the like big contributing factors to why this game took so long, because there was a million different steps from creating the art in Photoshop to timing them in the code to testing it a million times to make sure the timing worked out. So I've been trying to figure out the best way to streamline that, and I had the thought, this was sort of one of the ideas I was tossing around when we first started making the game, but I rejected it. But I had the thought that it would be a lot easier if I just embedded the subtitles directly into the videos instead of going through the code. Like, I just do it in my video editing software. When they start talking, I paste in the subtitle right there on the video. So that they're just part of the video files. The problem with doing it that way is that you can't turn them on and off at that point. You just have subtitles. Unless I then do two different versions of the videos, one with subtitles, one without, which would double the size of the game.
Number of videos, yeah.
Yeah. So I did crunch some numbers on that. So this game, we have roughly 3.5 gigs of video files. So it would make it 7 gigs instead. And yeah. So also not like a prime solution. It would make things a lot faster to develop. So I don't know, if that would make it worthwhile or not. I have a few comparison figures. I looked at other FMV games on Steam to be like, all right, what are other people's file sizes? So one I saw was 11 gigs. One was 1 gig, 22 gigs, 2 gigs, 3 gigs, 20 gigs, 8 gigs. So it's all over the place. I don't know. Maybe 7 isn't that big a deal. That's sort of what
curious,
I've been mulling over.
Yeah.
And then this is if we decide to do another FMV game in the future, whether it's Internet Court 2 or something else. And that's obviously not something that is at all set in stone or even something we've discussed, really. But just trying to think ahead, because, I mean, this solution that I had was not very good, and it made the game take too long to develop. I don't know if anyone listening on this has any thoughts about whether 7.5 gigs is an absurdly large file size for an indie video game. Let me know, because I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly tough for someone who's on a rural internet connection to download it, but for someone who's on like normal high speed internet, it shouldn't take that long. Anyway, something for everyone to mull over in the month to come. And help us figure that out. Alright. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefump, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our new theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Is there anything you would like to add, Michael?
Have a happy new year. Have a happy new year. How's that?
There you go. There you go. This should be out by the new year. Yeah. Happy new year, everyone. here's to a dear God, I hope, better 2021.
Yeah.
A story will be told. Go!
These games are so weird.